It's Good Friday. Thanks for being with us on Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports across the great state of Arizona on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us. A jam-packed show today coming up in about 10 minutes. Cedric Sabalos is going to be with us. CC, the former great son. I want to talk to CC about what he's up to now. If he ever blew in a guy's ear during a game, MJ or LeBron, and just some basketball stuff. $2 billion for a franchise. Cedric Sabalos, all things around the NBA, that comes up in a few minutes. Tom Brenneman's going to join us in this hour. Tommy's in town, voice of the Cincinnati Reds. Of course, longtime voice of the Diamondbacks. Does NFL games on Fox. Could he ever imagine a day where a sports franchise would be at $2 billion like the Clippers? And what are the Yankees worth? And just talking sports in general with Tom Brenneman, how it's going in Cincinnati. That comes up. Goody at the Movies is today. And what movie are we doing with Bill? There's like three of them today. What one was he most excited about, Malfurson?
Yeah, that one, and then A Million Ways to Die in the West is one that he also...
You know, the other night I had an invite to go to that, and I was going to even ask you, because it looked dreadful.
It would
be kind of fun
bad.
Just to get out. It looked like Blazing Saddles.
It could be really good, or it could be really bad. There's probably no in between.
Probably depends on what type of beverage or how many beverages you have before you go see it. It's one of those deals, so... we'll have Goody at the Movies coming up as well. We'll talk about Angelina Jolie, the Brad Pitt attack, and all that stuff. Busy day in the Valley, as always. Things going on in the world of sports. Our website, you can check it out, sports360az.com. We're Arizona-centric. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Good to be on with them today and that audience on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter. You can always follow me at Brad Sussmat. Or as Eric likes to bang me over the head, please mention Sports360AZ. This is on Twitter as well. What are we at, by the way? This is the end of May, so we're, what, 7 weeks away from your wedding?
Is 50 that days, 5-0.
5-0.
It's a milestone.
Yeah.
It's the golden anniversary counting down.
You getting nervous yet?
No, not really.
Not soiling yourself in the middle of the night saying, what am I doing? What am I thinking?
No,
where am I going?
There's just a lot to do.
Yeah. Well, at this point, shoot, just tell her to do it. You've already tasted.
Well, she pretty much is.
She's tasted food, right?
Correct.
I got the invite the other day, and it took a moving van to deliver it. Thing couldn't even fit in the UPS box.
It was a rather large invitation.
It was like you know, you go to the weight rack at the fitness place, and you pick it up. I go to my mailbox, and I pull this thing out, and I'm like tugging like somebody else, and I pull this thing out, and it just kind of dropped to the ground. I thought it was a brick of gold in there or something. Said it was the golden ticket to your wedding, so. It's fine.
Over
the next 50 days, I'm going to give you so much business about that. And those of you that know him or you just want to get on him on Twitter, do it. Just tell him. I've tried to warn him, and he just hasn't listened. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports. Very busy Friday. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. As always, just outside of Pine Top. Here we are at the weekend. You want to head to the White Mountains, get away from it all. Get on out and enjoy yourself in the high, cool pines, and then pull on down the slots, eat some food, watch some sports, have some fun, hang out with your friends, your buddies at the Honda Resort and Casino. Great entertainment, a lot going on at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. So we have a report today. Mike Jarecki, who does a very good job in following things that are involving the Arizona Cardinals. He has lived it for years and years and years. So I'm thinking when he decides to put out a report that Darrell Washington has been suspended for the entire 2014 NFL season, that's somebody that I look at and say he's very seldom wrong, and he wouldn't go out on a limb this far on something like that. I have not confirmed this. The Cardinals aren't going to say anything. And Mike works hard at this stuff, so he's the one. So, but on this, I can certainly talk about the impact of what's going on with the Cardinals. We had said earlier this week on this show, and some of you, as usual, got all worked up because I don't sit here and be a cheerleader and wave the pom-poms. I call it as I see it. Doesn't matter if they're really bad, if they're really good. If they're good, you say they're good. If they're bad, you say they're bad, and you move on. I did say I've seen quite a few preseason publications that think the Cardinals are going to have a breakthrough season, and I can certainly make that argument. I think anybody can make that argument. I have also seen, though, some publications that have said the Cardinals are a team that is in a bit of a demise and a slide, And I can certainly make that argument too and see it from that side of the street. Anybody who isn't concerned now that they've lost Carlos Dansby and Darryl Washington, you're just not living in reality, okay? And they're your Cardinals. It's your team. If you're not willing to admit that there is age at quarterback, and there's even some age you can point to, some veterans that are very good players that I like a great deal personally and professionally. I kind of like dealing with Darnell Dockett, always have. I like dealing with Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's done a lot of good in the community. However, all good things come to an end with players' shelf life. I'm not saying they're going to just disappear today, but there comes a point with every single last player, no matter how good they are, where they start to slow down just a little bit. And are we at that point? I hope not. But it's certainly a rational conversation to have to say, is this the year where you start to see a little bit of a slowdown? And now you've lost two of your linebackers. And they say Tyrann Mathieu is going to be back at the start of the season. I don't know that. And I don't know how well he's going to play. So, yeah, there's a little bit of concern about this. The Washington suspension, he was suspended for the first four games of last season, violated the league's substance abuse policy, was recently given 1 year's probation by an Arizona judge from an aggravated assault charge against his former girlfriend. I think that any one of us that had covered Darryl Washington when he was drafted and when he first came into the league would have said, wow, Darryl Washington, there's no way Darryl Washington has trouble. There's no way Darryl Washington has issues. There's no way there's some things to be concerned about with Darryl Washington. D-wash this and D-wash that. Well, obviously, that wasn't the case. And now this report is out there that he's done for the entire season. Big news there. On the field, I kind of like to be on the field. Last night, and I know the Diamondbacks have been bad, but man, Josh Colemanter, I found myself the last, I don't know, three innings, Eric, watching a Diamondbacks game uninterrupted.
Yeah, I kind of caught a little bit of it, too. I'm guilty by association as well.
Yeah, I mean,
there's like, they're playing well. Like, where was this last month? Why did you need a month to ramp up to play like you're playing right now?
Well, we're going to hear we had to go to Australia, you know, and we had these pitchers that were hurt, you know.
It's a part of it.
It's a part, but look, when it gets into excuses, nothing at all going to Australia has added to them being so bad in the field, so miserable running the bases at times, so dumb with their decision-making. And that has nothing to do with the loss of arms. Going to Australia had nothing to do with Patrick Corbin getting hurt. So, you know, the roster, from my point of view, had some question marks. I thought they were a third-place team that could challenge for the wild card. They're actually two games back of the Padres now, believe it or not.
But they're still 13 out in the West.
No, I know. I know. It doesn't matter in the West.
The uphill climb. I understand.
Where
are
they in the wild card? Where are they in the wild card?
I know.
But let's not even go down there.
But they still have to jump a bunch of teams just to get back in the wild card race, too.
Sure. So here locally, the Diamondbacks win again. They're having a very good homestand. Colemanter, first complete game. The fact that he faced the minimum, to me, is really, it's amazing that when you put guys like, if I said, hey, Josh Colemanter has something in common with Roy Oswalt, Walter Johnson, Mike Flanagan, John Candelaria, and Josh Colemanter, what do they all have in common? And he's part of this group that's now 13 guys that have faced the minimum and pitched a complete game. That was really good stuff last night. He had command from start to finish. Very good. So that's going on here locally. The Clippers sale, and I'll talk to Cedric Sabalas about this in a minute. So Donald Sterling, Bill Plaschke of the LA Times, who I really like, and I consider him a friend, wrote today, we all know how Donald Sterling feels about blacks. Now we'll find out if he has a higher opinion of green. It's a very good opening line. Because when it comes up that the Clippers, who have no NBA titles, they have no appearances in the conference finals, never been to the conference finals, no MVP ever. There's no statues out front of Staples Center ever. There's no national love towards the owner. In fact, he was voted the most hated guy in sports. And yet the Clippers fetched $2 billion for the sale. I know that there is the Donald Sterling side. Well, it's not over with yet, and we're going to go down with a fight. But The fact that Sterling last night was declared mentally incapacitated, and then about an hour later it comes out that the former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer is going to pay $2 billion, and he's got $19 billion left in the bank. It's pretty good. So I, of course, look at this and say, all right, Robert Sarver paid $410 million for the Suns, the Arena, and the Rattlers. That's pretty easy to jump to that narrative and say, oh, well, Robert Sarver has got to be jumping up and down today. No, you know who else is jumping up and down today? The Bidwells, Ken Kendrick. Anybody involved with a sports franchise of any ilk is jumping up and down for joy today. Because across the board in all sports, what are NFL owners saying to themselves? And I understand it's the Los Angeles television market, and the Clippers are going to go put a TV deal together and all that stuff. What are the other markets saying today? What are the other sports franchises saying today? The Milwaukee Bucks sold for $550 million. The guys that just bought the Bucks, were they going to put the for sale sign in the ground today, put it back out there and say, we want $750 and we'll make a cool $200 million and move on a month
later?
They should. Of course they should. In terms of the Sterling, Donald Sterling approval, here is Ramona Shelburne, who's been all over this story since day number one with ESPN Los Angeles, that the deal does not need the Donald's approval.
This signed binding agreement is going straight to the NBA and does not require another sign-off from Donald Sterling.
So this will happen next week. Next week's going to be a fascinating week. I mean, it really is. Because you figure that Sterling's guys are going to roll in there and they're going to talk a tough game. I don't know where Robert Sarver stands on this, how he's going to vote. Mark Cuban, I'm sure, is going to have a vote. He's going to have a vote, of course. But Mark Cuban's going to have a loud voice somewhere. So we'll hear from that on that front. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. ASU football gets a big-time recruit this morning, a wide receiver. Alabama needs a game in 2015. I talked about ASU and U of A yesterday. I'm going to advance that a little bit further. We talked about satellite camps yesterday. Arizona State actually has a satellite camp. I'll talk about that, too, as we continue on. On the other side, Cedric Ceballos, one of the more popular NBA figures in the Valley ever, former member of the Phoenix Suns. What's he up to now? And a lot of NBA talk with him. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
About a week ago, I was talking to Eric, and I said, we should try to find Cedric Ceballos, and we have found CC, Brad Sussmat, on Sports 360 AZ, on AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio across the state of Arizona, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Former Sun great Cedric Ceballos. CC, if I were to start the conversation with $2 billion for the Clippers, take it from there.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is a great opportunity. Obviously, we know this is not a business investment. This is just, you know, opportunity to somebody rich and a lot of money and that wants a great toy, and he's going to get a great toy and play with it well.
Cedric is a member of the NBA Retired Players Association. You can find him and others at legendsofbasketball.com, legendsofbasketball.com. Okay, but $2 billion for the Clippers. If I were to tell you, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, someday the Clippers are going to be worth $2 billion with Donald Sterling, and now without Donald Sterling, there's not a chance you would have believed me. Maybe the Knicks, maybe the Lakers, right?
Well, I don't really think it's just the Clippers. I think it's the organization of the NBA has put together a great product. And when you're in a big metropolitan city like Los Angeles, it's going to be easy for, you know, the big dogs with the deep pockets to try to say, you know, so we go back and forth. You know, they put a team together, a corporate team together to try to put the bid in. But I think one guy just stepped up and said, man, let's just stop messing around. Let's just get right to it. What I want in the long haul is to be a great opportunity. I love playing. I love basketball, the game, the product they have put out there. So it's not really, I don't think, an instance of saying, hey, the Clippers are worth $2 billion. But I just think being a part of the NBA is the biggest motivation.
What if you're the Milwaukee Bucks and you just sold for $550 million? Are you kind of standing there along the street saying, my thumb's out and now I could actually sell today and probably make more than I paid a month ago?
No. It's not the same scenario. It's the same hype. You still don't have a roster of superstars like the Clippers have right now. And you're in a town that, you know, obviously supports Green Bay Packers, and the Packers would be worth a ton of money. But you just have to understand the location, the timing, and the attention that's going on right now.
I'm curious on this front. LeBron James is scheduled to be paid $23 million. When the new CBA comes up and open, when a team goes for $2 billion, I understand it's the brand is what you're saying. It's Brad, it's the NBA. But is a player of LeBron's stature completely, totally underpaid when we see one franchise go for $2 billion, CeCe?
Well, when you see that LeBron is underpaid, when you see what Mickey Harrison is making, that's when you say, yeah, he's got his underpaid. That, I mean, it's a whole product. It's a whole process. And it's a whole production of people behind this whole thing. So, you know, you got to understand players only here for a short period of time and in their lifespan. So the best thing is to try to get as much as you can and play as hard as you can for when you're in the franchise. They have tons of players that are, you know, obviously being underpaid as well as, you know, you look at the guys that make a 23, you know, Jordan at 30, 32 million. Kobe is his big outlet of his 2 years of pay. But they've earned over the years and what they have brought financially to that organization and to the league.
Did you come in too soon now, CeCe? You're like, oh, man, I should
have. I came in way too soon. I have a conversation with my mother every day, like, oh, well, just couldn't wait 10 more years, did you?
Cedric Savalos with Brad Sussmat, CeCe, legendsofbasketball.com, legendsofbasketball.com, member of the NBA Retired Players Association. Did you ever have a player blow in your ear during a game to get you off your game?
Tons of times. I mean, it's been done before, but doing it on a national stage against the best player in the NBA, and you're down, it's a tactic. If it works, it's great. Obviously, it didn't work in game four with LeBron talking trash. LeBron not getting involved with talking trash with Stevenson. You know, they got the win, regardless if it was a close win or not. Did it piss LeBron off? No, I don't think so. I think he's motivated enough to try to get his stuff back to the finals for the fourth year in a row. But he has to perform. I think if Lance came out and had a great game, or even a normal Lance Stevenson game, mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been, you know, exposed that way. You know, when he trash talked before, he kind of backed up and was playing really well. I think he just needs to, you know, sit back and just concentrate on himself. You know, Robin did this a lot. You know, he did goofy things like that, you know, putting himself in the position, grabbing guys' butts, you know, just trying to throw them off. But, you know, he performed defensively and he performed, you know, so to speak, offensively, you know, by, you know, making his chipper dunks and layups and underneath, or every now and then getting a throw up three and, you know, a rare form of making free throws. But he's got his championships. So when you go about those antics and you produce a championship, they're well worth it. So if Indiana continues on and wins tonight and have an opportunity to win game seven and go on to win a championship, then you'll say, hey, man, the guy did what he was supposed to be doing. But he has to put himself in a position to play well and also his team to move on.
What's the what's something similar to what Stevenson did or attempted to do with LeBron that someone tried to do to you?
Well, we all know a former teammate of mine. He played with him in Phoenix, Dallas, and in Miami. It was A.C. Green. He was a guy who did that as well. He'll get inside your head with little small things like pinching you in weird places. You know, he'll ask you something that has nothing to do with basketball or out the blue, something to do with astronomy. And you just look at him like, man, this guy is just really weird right now. just really small little things like that. But blowing in the ear, you know, that has been done before. You know, blowing kisses, even actually kissing somebody on the cheek, goofing around with them and trying to throw them off their psyche off. Yeah, all those tricks have been done. But I think his focus needs to be more on playing the game and playing his game, so to speak, than trying to get on LeBron's skin, because I don't think it's working at all. The blowing the kisses and all the other stuff did not have him in foul trouble, did not hinder his game one bit. You know, just, you know, two more inches from Chris Bosh and this series is over.
Were you with the Suns, help me on this one, when was it Charles that pinched Charles Oakley's nipple? Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was Charles to Charles Oakley. I had somebody say, no, I had the story backwards. But it was...
No, you... you're absolutely right. Like, Oakley wouldn't do nothing like that. It's just an opportunity for Charles to be Charles and goof around and try to get in this, you know, get this guy kicked out. He was a very aggressive person, Oakley, so to speak. So trying to get under his skin and try to get him to hit you and, you know, Charles go to the free throw line or get technicals or even get him thrown out, you know, they would go to great lengths. Like I said before, man, just those little tenuous things to try to get your mind off the game or get you thrown out. Anything to do to not hurt the other player, I think guys really did that, especially back in the day when the game was a little bit more physical going towards the rim with layups and dunks. They put guys down the same way, a little extra weight when they laid on top of you, all that little stuff just to get you irritated.
What did you do to people? What was your thing?
My thing was a smile. I mean, if I made a great bucket or basket, you know, the smile and just like, yeah, there's really nothing. That really kind of irritated guys. Like I'm playing hard and this guy's running around here with smiles. I think that's the best way for me to try to get him in somebody's skin is quick layups and putbacks.
When you see LeBron today and you played against Michael, who would you take?
Oh, man, Michael Jordan. Don't get me wrong, LeBron is going to be one of the top five players that plays his game. But now, at this point, the way he finished, the way Michael carried himself, the impact that he has on the game of basketball, it hasn't been anybody better, bigger, and badder than Michael Jordan. You just got to understand that, you know, our best player, this is kind of thing. We went to the finals of playing against Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. This is the highest compliment you can give a guy by not putting your best defender on him. Saying, you know, why not? Because he's going around everybody, and he's going to beat everybody. So why have your best defender to his back going by you instead of coming towards you for the help? I mean, that's just how great he was and how he finished. But you got two different styles of play. LeBron is more of a point guard. He has the ball in his hands a lot. You know, Michael didn't really, you know, hey, get out of my way all the time as much as LeBron does.
How you doing? What's new with you?
I'm great, man. What we do at the Retired Players Association is wonderful. It is a nonprofit organization that's go about helping out. It's the same mentality that we had when we all played in the NBA. We try to help everybody extend the caring factor of it. You know, myself, I'm still doing radio, running this voice all I can, as much as I can do, mm-hmm. Trying to take care of the kids and watching them grow up too as well.
Now, good for you. It's good to hear your voice and good to be in touch. Stay well. We'll see you down the road. Thanks, CeCe.
Okay, Brad. Take it easy.
You got it, man. Cedric Sabalos for a couple of minutes. Legendsofbasketball.com, legendsofbasketball.com, member of the NBA Retired Players Association. Good talking hoops with Cedric Sabalos. On the other side, Tom Brenneman, longtime voice of the Diamondbacks, the original voice of the Diamondbacks on television, of course, long time with the Cincinnati Reds. I have to ask him because he is a fan of sport. What would the Yankees be worth on the open market if the Clippers fetched $2 billion? What do you make out of last night at the ballpark with Josh Colemanter? It's one of the things we always like to catch up with Tom about. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So now the Cardinals have just released a statement from Steve Keim on everything with Darryl Washington. What a nightmare this is. Again, Darryl Washington suspended for the year. Substance abuse policy, not the personal conduct policy. Steve Keim this morning, it's completely unacceptable that Darryl has once again put us in this position. We all know what the consequences are and we'll deal with them. From a personal standpoint, our hope is that this suspension will give Darryl the opportunity to accept the necessary help and guidance to get his life back on track, blah, 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 blah. I am so sick of this crap. I mean, I just am. And it's gone on and on and on. It's not just here in Arizona. For you Cardinal fans, Carlos Dansby decides to go to Cleveland. That's fine. Darryl Washington, this is on him again. And a very talented player, don't get me wrong, but it's just unacceptable over and over and over again. So that's the latest on Darryl Washington. A lot of people sending me notes on what the Cardinal stance is, and that's the release now from Steve Keim. We eloquently, as best we can, shift gears now and bring on board Tom Brenneman. Always good to talk with Tommy. Back in the Valley, Cincinnati Reds play-by-play man, 21 years with Fox, doing the baseball and football games. Tom, how are you?
Good, Bradley. Just out here with my kids at Cracker Jacks.
Oh, yeah.
We have a place up in North Scottsdale where, you know, we're getting ready to get on the go-karts here in a few minutes. So it's a great day.
Well, and then I won't keep you long then, crying out loud.
No, you're fine. We're fine. I got to wait for the next round. We're in line anyway. We're fine.
Yeah, I'm a little grumpy about Darryl Washington, so... You know,
I understand.
So if I told you that the Clippers would get $2 billion as they're getting, what are the Yankees worth today, Tom?
Oh, boy, I wouldn't even begin to. I mean, you're talking about the L.A. Clippers. And I know it's Los Angeles, but it's the Clippers. You tell me the Lakers were going for that? I'd believe it. I'm not an NBA guy, so I mean, I really don't follow it. I haven't followed the Sterling stuff. You know, we don't have a team in Cincinnati, and I've never been much of an NBA guy. I follow the college game a little more closely, but $2 billion for them, that's mind-boggling.
It changes the landscape of all sports, is my stance.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an NFL owner today, you've got to be looking at it. It doesn't matter what city you're in, saying it. They got a basketball franchise that doesn't have any titles, doesn't have any statues, it doesn't have anything other than they're in L.A., and they got $2 billion for that?
You're right. And we've seen the price tag on some of the NFL teams in recent years. And, I mean, it's a gold mine in whatever city you're in. That's why there are no teams up for sale.
That's true. What do you make out of what's going on out here with Tony La Russa and Kevin Towers?
I thought it was great. Well, I don't know about the Kevin Towers thing. I mean, the Tony La Russa thing, I think, is a great hire. I mean, you talk about, you know, records or statues or championships, whatever you want to talk about. I mean, this guy has, you know, arguably one of the top three or four greatest resumes in the history of the game as a major league manager. Now, does that mean he's going to be a great president of baseball operations? No. But if I were a betting man, do I think his chances are pretty good of doing well at it? You better believe it. I thought it was a great hire.
Can you see them coexisting out here, Tom? La Russa and Towers.
What's that?
Can you see La Russa and Towers coexisting?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't think anybody could speculate on this, Brad, only because we don't know what kind of executive Tony La Russa is going to be. We know what kind of manager Tony La Russa is and was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be unfair to speculate in any way, shape, or form, you know, what kind of executive he is going to be. So, you know, how long he'll get along, I don't know what the relationship has been in the past, if any relationship at all between the two. So, I don't know.
When I had Ken Kendrick on last week, he wouldn't rule out La Russa coming down and putting back on the managerial garb, but he said it's Tony La Russa's call. You've covered Tony and done many, many games around Tony.
Yeah.
Could you ever see him coming back into it?
Yes, I could see it happening. I mean, do I have any knowledge of that? No, I don't.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't talked to Tony in quite a while. I saw him in spring training. That was it. But, I mean, look, the guy's all about competition. I mean, and that's what he missed, and he made it very clear in the press conference. He loves being able to go to bed every night and know whether that day you won or lost. And I don't know if you can even get that satisfaction as a baseball executive, but you surely get it as a player, you get it as a coach, and you really get it as a manager. And I think he's missed it.
Your team this year and how your season is going?
Well, just injured. You know, I mean, it hasn't been a good year. I mean, you know, you've been in the playoffs four of the last five. You win 90 or more games, you know, and you're expecting big things. And then all of a sudden, it has just been like one thing after the other. And you know, Brian Price isn't going to blame it on the injuries. But, you know, I would challenge anybody to say, you know, you start a season, maybe the best left-handed setup guy in the league, Sean Marshall, injured. Arguably the best setup right-handed guy in the league, Jonathan Broxton, injured. Closer, Aroldis Chapman, injured. Best pitcher in your rotation a year ago, Matt Latos, injured. So Alfredo Simon comes into the starting rotation. Starting catcher, injured to start the year. Comes back, plays 10 games, not 10, 15 runs, injured. Joey Votto, your best offensive player, injured. Jay Bruce, second best offensive player, injured on the DL, just back. So, you know, I mean, we're talking about guys that have been not only to, you know, an all-star game here or there.
Yeah.
Chapman, Broxton, Votto, Bruce, multiple all-star games for each of those guys. And a big part of a winning baseball team. And they have paid the consequences. You know, right now, it is a shell of the team they believe they have. So what I'm saying is, Brad, I'm not suggesting they're going to win 95 games. I don't know.
Right.
But I think, again, it would be unfair to try and draw any sort of summation about what they are based on who they've had so far this season.
Before I let you go, you're back, and we're talking with Tom Brenneman. You're back with Brian Billick again another year at Fox Football?
No, Brian's not back. Fox made the decision not to bring him back, and so I was very surprised, to say the least. So we're trying to figure out who the next partner. They're trying to figure out who my next partner will be. But I'm looking forward to another season. That's for sure.
Be well. Stay safe on the track. Be a dad. I'll talk to you soon. Stay well.
All the best, my friend. You take care of yourself. Always nice talking with you, Bradley.
You as well. It's Tom Brenneman. Appreciate his time. He's a Cracker Jacks, man. That's more important than talking sports for a couple of minutes. I mean, we should be doing a show. Why have we not done a show at Cracker Jacks? It's right near our palatial estate.
Kind of sounded like he was on a roller coaster at the beginning of that, or in a wind tunnel.
You know what's cool is we're moving into some new studios. So we're having Skyview has said we love what's going on, and we want to build you more studios because we continue to grow. And that's fine. But I was talking with Ken Thiel from Skyview, and he said, we've got this Wi-Fi that goes like 2 miles from the building. Cracker Jacks is like less than 2 miles from the building.
It is. It's right around the corner.
I mean, we could seriously, and he said, you could go do your show, Brad, and it would be beyond crystal clear. And, you know, I'm always game for just, maybe it's one of these things. We get the studio done, we get into like October, and we just have a listener. We just do a party. We just have a listener thing. We just say, come on out, and I'm serious about this. We go out and we whack some golf balls over Cracker Jacks. We race around. We do a show for a couple hours.
Do a segment from the batting cage.
Absolutely.
It's really not
that hard. You know, I hear this, well, you go all these places and do all these things. Yeah, it's really not that hard if you're committed to doing this rather than having both arms around your checkbook. You know, it's really not that hard. And having good people to be a part of it. Like Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. General Manager Tim Hovick and company. See how smooth that is? That's how it is at Santan Ford.
We call that seamless.
Seamless transition. There is no transition here because they're so embedded with what we do. We're sitting here now at the end of May. And before you know it, I'm going to be down in Southeast Conference territory at the SEC Media Days. I'm going to be traveling out to the Pac-12 Media Days. I'm going to be up in Las Vegas with the Suns for Summer League. We're going to be traveling with ASU again. And you know why? Because people like Santan Ford said, from day number one, Brad, we believe in what you do. General Manager Tim Hovick told me, wherever you go, whatever you need, we're behind you. Okay, so the same thing applies to you looking for that car or that truck. Have you been to Santan Ford or just go online, santanford.com? Doesn't matter if it's Bob Johnson out there, John Bernath, all the people that get the job done. It's a family environment. But also, you see it at the Diamondback games, that big Santan Ford sponsorship right behind home plate. The Cardinal games, there are sponsors there at Arizona State, Arizona Ford Dealers, and Santan Ford. So they're committed to winning in the sports arena, too. That's why they're with us and we're with them. Santan Ford should be part of your team, too. Stop on in, see the difference yourself. Santan Ford. Just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I should be outraged and talk more about, oh my gosh, what are the Cardinals going to do now that Carlos Dansby is gone and Darryl Washington has been suspended for the year. Thing is, it's just like last year when Jonathan Cooper left with an injury. Problem is, this isn't just an injury. This is a guy that had the whole world in front of him. I mean, Eric, and look, you're a TCU guy. From the day that he was drafted, you're a fan of his. But yep. I think everybody and anybody who covered D. Wash, as we would like to say, or just as I say now, Darryl Washington, because I'm not going to give nicknames to guys that are knuckleheads. Now that this is coming out per a source, the Washington suspension arises from the substance abuse policy, not the personal conduct.
At first, it was surprising, and now it's just extremely disappointing. Because the first time he got into trouble, it was like, oh, Darryl Washington, squeaky clean image.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? But yep. Now it's not, it's a pattern. It's a problem. And the Cardinals are in a really difficult situation because the guy can play, but at what expense is it too much of a hassle?
A year from now, he'll be with the Raiders or the Cowboys.
Probably.
How's that for a
probably. Okay. But as ass backwards as the NFL is, he will get another chance to play because he has talent. And there are teams like the Raiders and the Cowboys who are willing to take chances on guys with troubled pasts.
I mean, that's just the way it is. And that's what's so disgusting about, look, if a guy gets in trouble once, we all make mistakes. We all screw up. He gets in trouble twice. I'm really concerned, and I'm about done with it. A third time is a pattern. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. If if you've got an issue off the field and you can't keep your act together, I don't think we're in a day and age now. Times have changed, man, from the 80s and 90s where I would get a lot towards when I first started doing this in the late 80s. I'd get a lot of, well, you know, we all make mistakes. It's not a big deal. Everybody's doing it, so why not? And as time has progressed and more fans are saying, you know, I bought this guy's jersey. I invested time in him. I've told my kids to follow him. Even that is now starting to ring hollow because I think more and more people, I remember when Charles did the whole, I am not a role model thing. It drove people nuts, but he was, it's so true. I mean, if you're not the role model for your kid, okay, if your kid's got to find a role model by buying a jersey at some outlet place, and then that guy gets in trouble like Daryl Washington does, and you're supposed to go explain yourself. Now, it's one thing to say, look, he's my hero. He's somebody I admire. He's somebody I really like. He's a great player and all that. I get that, but we're just in a day and age now where this stuff starts to numb you after a while. Instead of just, hey, we got to talk about what's going on in the field. Well, no, because guys like this who are talented screw the whole thing up for the Cardinals. The Cardinals now are at the end of May, and there's no way they can replace Daryl Washington. They can't replace Daryl Washington. You can go try to find guys to plug in. You may get lucky like you did with John Abraham last year. You might get lucky. But, God, that's just disappointing. Bill Goodykoontz on the other side. Bill never disappoints. Goody at the Movies is next. Angelina Jolie back on my screen and yours. We'll talk with Bill on many, many subjects. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Now, because you know everything going on in the world of sports in Arizona here on Sports360AZ.com, I'm not going to talk about Daryl Washington's year-long suspension any longer because I don't care. You don't care. It's disappointing. The Diamondbacks, they play again tonight. The Suns have more workouts and some college stuff, too. But the big story is it's time for you to get out to the movies. Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. How are you, Bill?
I'm good. I'm not sure if this is the time to get out for the movies.
You know, I went and I went out the other day on Memorial Day with my family, and we decided to go to the movies, and the place was packed, and everything that you said we should see and shouldn't see, we saw and we liked, and what we said to stay away from was packed too. So I don't know if people just go knowing they're going to see Misery. So I'm blanking out here. No, I got it. A Million Ways to Die in the West, because I'm thinking Blazing Saddles. So it looks awful. It drew less than a million overnight. But is this anywhere's worth your while to go see?
It is not. Don't think Blazing Saddles. Think more of just Seth MacFarlane not being funny.
Wow, and that happens a lot.
It's one of those things where I like gross out humor. I think offensive humor is funny. It can be funny, but it's got to be funny. And if it's not funny, it's just gross. And that's sort of what this, there, I'm trying to think of a good illustration that I could actually give you. Something happens with Sarah Silverman's character where she is going to do this certain thing, right?
Yeah.
And then later they ask her, she and her boyfriend show up at Seth MacFarlane's, you know, ranch or whatever, and says, and he's like, hey, have a seat. And she's like, no, thanks, I'm good. And it doesn't make any sense out of context, but if they stopped right there, it would have been really funny. They keep going on, and they explain the joke. If you have to explain a joke, it's not funny anymore.
Especially
if it's like a dirty joke or a crude joke.
Yeah.
And
we're fine with that.
And there's almost, also, Seth MacFarlane stars in this one, too. And he's just not as good an actor as the rest of those guys.
So I'm going to just say, to stay away from that, Angelina Jolie is back. Brad Pitt gets accosted, attacked.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff around her coming back onto the screen.
She is really good. The movie is not as good, but, I mean, it's interesting, and it looks really good. And she looks really good. She's just one of those, she's not always this way, but, I mean, this movie is sort of built to be this way. But when she, whenever she's on the screen, you stop what you're doing and you look. I mean, you know, you just pay attention to her. You don't pay attention to anything else. And that's why she's a movie star. It's just that the story, if you liked Sleeping Beauty,
yeah,
you might, this is not, some people, it seemed like it was going to be like sort of like Wicked, like, you know, a fairy tale told from a different point of view, told from the bad guy's point of view.
Right, right.
It's not really that. It's sort of like explaining how she got bad, but also kind of changing the story. So, you know, I don't know if you know about this or not, but these Disney purists are out there, and they go insane if you change, like, one little thing about, and they're going to go nuts. So that might be kind of fun, actually.
You sound annoyed with the Disney purists. That is funny.
Well, they're out there. They're people who, it's particularly the old animated stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, and all that. And Sleeping Beauty was not considered one of the great Disney animations. Not like Snow White or, you know, Robin Hood or any of the, you know, any of the ones that you can think of. It was okay. But Maleficent is a really good bad guy.
So Maleficent, she wears leather horns and she acts with her daughter, yeah?
Yeah, for about 5 minutes. Her daughter just plays the princess during, like, a certain stage of growth. Like, she's in between the baby and the grown-up. You get her daughter. She's not into that much. And the horns are not, I think they're real. I don't think it's like a hat. At least they never come off. I think it maybe she just wraps leather around her horns to make them more attractive. I'm not sure. My friend Chrissy Lemire, who used to be the AP's chief critic, in her review, she wondered where she gets red lipstick like that in the forest.
Can I take my 9-year-old to see this?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Am I going to be bored out of my mind and he's going to be riveted?
No, you're not going to be bored. I mean, it's great to look at. And yeah. I mean, the guy that directed it, this is his first time directing, but he's won 2 Oscars for art direction. And one was Avatar, which, again, was great to look at, you know?
Sure.
It's just not it. I had high hopes for it until I learned they were screening it on a Wednesday night, which is not always a good time. But it wasn't terrible. I mean, it was nothing like that. If you want to go see a cool movie this weekend, go to Camelview and see this movie called Cold in July.
Okay.
It's like this. You remember Michael C. Hall? He was the gay brother in 6 Feet Under, the Undertaker, and he was Dexter in the show Dexter. And he's a really good actor, and he's got a wide range. And here he plays this guy in this little Texas town, East Texas town, where he and his wife and kid are asleep one night. He hears an intruder. He gets up, shoots a guy, and kills him. And it turns out that this guy's wanted by the feds and everything, and everybody's happy. He's like a big hero, and he doesn't feel like a hero. The only person who's not happy is his dad, who's played by Sam Shepard. He shows up, and basically says, "I'm going to kill you," and he goes about trying to. But then some things happen. And they end up kind of being allies, and they call in Don Johnson, who, you know, where's he been?
Yeah.
And he is great, and he's this private detective, and he helps him. It just gets really twisted and really weird, and thing, you know, nothing is what you think it is. Nobody's what you think they are, and they all change. But it's really well done, and it's pretty dark, but there's some humor in there. And I mean, I would really recommend that. It's just a cool movie. I mean, it kind of really gets you in there.
So it's only at Camelview.
Correct.
Okay. Let's go back to Brad Pitt. Talking to Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central, good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. So you've been to red carpets dozens, hundreds of times?
I don't go to that stuff very often, but
no?
I've been a little. I have spent 15 or 20 minutes with just me and Brad Pitt in his hotel room.
Wow.
I said there was my chance to attack him.
Yeah, jeez.
There was nobody around, no publicist, no nothing.
Why does this stuff, I mean, it takes one guy, but this guy does it for a living, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to do it much more.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get attention doing stuff like this. Why do people do any of this stuff? You know, I watched a really cool movie yesterday that's going to be coming out called Supermensch, and it's about Shep Gordon, who is Alice Cooper's manager, has been for, and he's managed everybody. This movie, every famous person you've ever heard of knows this guy and loves him, and he's quoted in this, and they're all in this movie.
Wow.
It's really good. But I'll say, but part of it, there, somebody, Tom Arnold, was having trouble with paparazzi. So he says, well, I'll call Shep. And Shep calls the guy up and says, hey, let's take care of this. And he works out some deal, and so then they interview the paparazzi guy. And it's sitting there, and they show the paparazzi guy at work, and he's on this beach in Hawaii, and he's hiding beneath, like, a palm tree or something. And he crawls up under there and kind of covers himself up. And it's like, look, I don't have any illusions that, you know, my work is going to change the world or anything like that. But at least I don't have to hide under a palm tree to do it.
Right, right. But what I'm wondering is, what is the – I know people want to get in front of celebs and stars. They want to be in that space. They want to say we went to a screening. It's sexy. It's all stuff. But when something like this happens, does it change the industry? Is that something that was from the 50s and it's going away, or is it only going to increase? Because with social media, Bill, do you really need to go stand up? If you're Brad Pitt, why do you need to go out in public? Why do you need to even do that?
Yeah, you do it to help your movie. I mean, that you just try to get attention for your movie. I don't know. There's that whole school of thought that things were a little more interesting when we didn't see celebrities all the time. That's like why people used to watch the Academy Awards more. You know, more people used to watch that. Because that was the only time you saw these guys when they weren't in a movie. That's right. The only time you saw them when they weren't acting. Now you see them all over the place. But there's still something about celebrity, though. There's something about, you know, kind of being in that aura, you know, and that I think will always attract people. I you know, I've read this saying, one time I read this saying in Premier Magazine a long time ago about Mick Jagger, who evidently has, like, the greatest celebrity aura of all, you know. And he decided he wanted to get into making movies, and so he was going to produce a movie. And he takes a meeting with all these big, you know, big-time producers, big-time Hollywood people. And the guy that was writing the story said this: he walked into a room that was surrounded, a table, around which were sitting people who had not heard the word no in 25 years. Mm. These were people who are waited on hand and foot. These are important people. And they immediately became sycophantic children. And he said, and the basic vibe in the room was basically, if I will give you anything you want just to be near you. If you would like to sleep with my wife, here is her number. it was just like that. There was just something different about him. But I think people are always going to be attracted to stuff like that. You know, celebrities don't do it as much as they used to, I don't think. But then you got somebody like Tom Cruise. His movie comes out next week, right?
Yeah.
He is doing three premieres in three different cities, I believe on three different continents in one day.
Wow.
Which is, you know, it's a stunt, but it's all a stunt.
Sure.
Right? I mean, it's all... So sometimes, like, you talk to people, reporters who talk to these guys, and they make the mistake. Same thing with sports. They make the mistake of thinking that they're the friends of these people. And oh, my God, if they remembered your name from a previous interview, you're my best friend. You know?
Right.
And you're not friends. We're all... I'm selling something, and they're selling something. And we're helping each other out. You know what I mean? It's more like that.
Bill?
Yes?
You're my friend. I got to let you go off that.
We got nothing to sell, man.
Just sitting here doing a job, man. Just every day just doing a job.
Just going to the salt mines.
Yeah,
all right.
That's it. See you later. There's Bill Goodykins. Goody at the movies. It's good stuff there with Bill every week. Well, I'm glad I talked to him because malfishing just... It just didn't work for me. Hey, let me take a moment to talk to you about Western Grade and Western Materials. Western Grade, Western Materials, your granddad wouldn't build your family's foundation in the shifting sands, and neither will the Western companies. They do it the right way. Landscaping, topsoil, asphalt, paving. Home builders, developers, Western Grade, Western Materials, CEO Troy Gillespie, really down-to-earth guy. That line I gave you off the top, I didn't have that. He gave it to me. He said, look, your granddad wouldn't build your family's foundation in the shifting sands. Neither will the Western companies. That's what he's all about. Western Grade, Western Materials website for you. Just go online to westerncos.com, westerncos.com, westerncos.com. Think of Western Grade, Western Materials. Sports360AZ.com. Partnering with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Right now on sports360az.com, I put up a column this morning about 5 a.m. and it's pounded out a couple hundred words. My thoughts on some things from Donald Sterling to ASU football to what's going on with United SC, having the LA Galaxy come here with Landon Donovan. And there'll be much more throughout the day on the high school, college, and pro front. We're Arizona-centric. More on the feature side. Check it out. Sports360AZ.com on a Friday.